Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
All right, welcome to Noise Filter. This is Dr. Mark Allen Derry. Doc Griggs is not able to be with us today, so let's go ahead and get started. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, arguably one of the most crucial organizations in the fight against the pandemic, has a messaging problem. According to NBC News, the CDC and the director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, have been steadily criticized over statements and guidance they issued that had to have been revised and or walked back. The problem seems to start when Dr. Walensky sent mixed messages about the state of the pandemic and what's safe for people who've been fully vaccinated. On March 29, she warned everyone of impending doom because of recent increases in case numbers across the country. In an interview with MSNBC the same day, she caused surprise and confusion by suggesting that vaccinated people do not carry the virus. Many researchers then criticized the comment, saying it's too soon to know for certain what effects the virus have on transmission. The CDC was forced to walk back her statement a few days later. Now, the CDC also then relaxed its travel guidance for people who are fully vaccinated, but because of the steady rise in case numbers and the fact that the majority of the U.S. population is still unvaccinated, Dr. Walensky said, "I would advocate against general travel overall." Now, the back and forth caused confusion and frustration. It muddled the public health messaging at a time when the CDC desperately needs to rebuild trust that has eroded over the past year, largely because of political interference from the Trump administration. Allison Bootenham, an associate professor of nursing and health policy at the University of Pennsylvania, said, "Whether you're a public health agency or doing communications campaign of any time, an erosion of trust is incredibly damaging." Lauren Lipworth, an epidemiologist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, said, "The events of 2020 have highlighted how important it is for the CDC and public health professionals to be open about where the science stands and to manage people's expectations about how things can change quickly. The CDC should be honest and transparent and share everything they can in terms of evaluating the evidence, but they also need to be appropriately cautious when we're at a point where we can't say anything yet." Crafting public health messaging during a pandemic when the science is unfolding in real time can be very hard to navigate, especially as the pandemic evolves. The public wants to know what is safe and what's not. Simple black and white answers. The problem is, during a rapidly shifting pandemic, you may not get all that black and white answers. So sometimes the answer is purple, and it's our job as public health professionals to explain why. Potential low-cost vaccine enters clinical trials. Now, while the COVID vaccines currently available are remarkable for their effectiveness and speedy development, they are relatively high cost and difficult to produce, transport, and store. That means that in addition to struggling to compete for scarce doses, low-income nations also struggle to afford adequate supplies of the vaccine. Now, according to the New York Times, a new vaccine entering clinical trials in Brazil, Mexico, Thailand, and Vietnam will help to even the playing field in accessing the vaccine. The vaccine, which at this point is just a collection of letters, uses a different molecular design than the existing vaccines, which scientists anticipate will have more potent antibodies than the others. While the vaccines currently available use something called a 2-proline substitution, this new immunization substitutes 6. The vaccine is also expected to be easier to produce than the Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The new vaccine could be manufactured in high volumes using chicken eggs, just like the annual flu vaccines are. And if it performs well in clinical trials, the same manufacturers that make influenza vaccines could potentially produce 1 billion doses of the new COVID vaccine each year. This would make doses more widely available and affordable, allowing lower-income nations to buy them at low cost or manufacture the vaccine themselves. Before these things are possible, however, the vaccine must prove effective in clinical trials. While experiments with animals have been promising, there's still a long way to go. The first phase of trials will conclude in July, and it will take many more months to clear the vaccine for use. Booster shots are likely necessary for COVID-19. In March, an Oxfam survey found that two-thirds of epidemiologists are concerned that COVID-19 variants could render current vaccines ineffective within the year. And I, too, agree with that. This means two things. First, that vaccinating globally is essential in order to minimize mutations as much as possible. And second, that booster shots for the currently available vaccines will be necessary. In fact, pharmaceutical manufacturers are already developing boosters for existing variants like the ones found in South Africa and Brazil. According to the World Health Organization, these mutations, especially the one from South Africa, can evade certain antibodies and are more contagious, making a booster all the more necessary. So far, the Moderna has announced that it may be able to provide booster shots for those that have received their vaccine by the end of the year, and that in tests, the shot has shown to offer an adequate degree of protection from the variants. If the pandemic continues on this course, it is likely that annual vaccines or boosters will be necessary as they are with the flu. This could be evaded, however, if a universal coronavirus were developed, which researchers are currently developing. Now, those who can get the vaccine should do so in order to minimize the immediate need for booster shots. Physical therapy for your nose. What? 77. It's estimated that 77% of those who have had COVID have lost some of their ability to smell. A portion of those people have developed parosmia, which is a disorder that causes previously normal odors to have new and more unpleasant smells. Scientists are hypothesizing that the neural pathways from the nose to the brain are being disrupted, and some doctors are now recommending smell training. Smell training can be seen as physical therapy for your nose. It entails smelling multiple strong and potent smells twice a day as a way to stimulate the olfactory system. Because the sense of smell comes back gradually, this process can take a few weeks or maybe even months. Currently, there are no published studies showing the efficacy of smell training, but preliminary results are promising. The great thing about this method is that it does no harm. But first, you need to ensure that the loss of smell comes from having a COVID infection. Before beginning smell training, you need to choose your scents. Experts recommend choosing four strong but familiar and memorable scents. It could be a perfume, some fruit, maybe some spices. You could also use some essential oils such as rosemary, eucalyptus, and more. Once you have picked your scents, you should smell each one for about 20 seconds each. Experts recommend doing short bunny sniffs as opposed to deep inhaling. And while you're sniffing, try to imagine what you are smelling to sort of assist your brain in perceiving that smell. Again, you can try this twice a day for a few months or until you gain your sense of smell back. It definitively varies from person to person, and it may take older people longer, but just remember that slow progress is progress, and this could just be the trick for you. Just as a reminder, that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.